You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM. This is Scaffy, and I have here with me in the studio Lasso, Brian, and Shell at the decks. Mm-hmm. Did I say that correctly,
Lasso? Yeah, the decks. On the decks, yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Now, we have our segment where we will be digging deeper into the Bible, being part of the 20 million movement, where 20 million people across the globe are studying the Bible, the same passages, using the same guide. We're going to tell you more about this. But before we do this, why don't you give our listeners a quiz, a trivia, to increase and to enhance our biblical knowledge, Lawson?
Absolutely. Here we go. Our next quiz question. When the city of Dothan was surrounded by an army, who was the prophet that asked that his servant could see God's much larger heavenly army?
I love that story.
Army? Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. It's a, you know, there's people there in the valley, they're surrounded, and the eyes of the servant are opened and they just see angels surrounding.
I have something nice to tell about this passage, Lawson. It reminds me when we come to the time of giving away the answer. So if you do know the answer to that question, 0491-064-669, Lawson is wanting to know the name of the prophet.
Yes.
Who asked God.
Who was the guy? He opened
to
the
open
eyes.
The eyes of his servant, because he could see himself, I mean, through the eyes of faith, right? Okay, sorry. Guys, Lawson needs to cough here. So he muted himself, he muted me in the process, and I'm saying, what is going on? Is this censorship here going on? Lawson, are you being like Absalom, and you're starting a coup here, you're going against me? But no, all he wanted to do is to have a nice cough away from the microphone so that you, oh, listener, wouldn't be disturbed by this seemingly disturbing physical event. That being said, what is the name of the prophet?
That's
you will
right.
be in for That's the right. drawer. Today is the drawer. Today is the day, everyone.
Yeah.
8:45 a.m. Lawson will be spinning the wheel, and we will know the name of the lucky winner who will win these two incredible, fantastic, outstanding books that you have to get your hands on. Even if it's, you know, I don't read, I don't like to read, get into the drawer yourself.
It will be a blessing.
You can give it as a gift. You can donate
blessing.
It to the local library. We would be much rather if you could read it, but participate. We love to have these books into your hands. And from there, the possibilities are infinite.
Are endless.
Infinite.
Yeah.
The person who is a good reader lives 1,000 lives.
Absolutely.
Isn't that true, Lawson? And we have come back to our study segment that I mentioned before. Right?
We are going to come back to that. I just wanted to say our prizes, Sister in Arms and Sister in Arms,
Brad
as
a
Stars.
Brad as a Star.
Suki Gunatalecki. That will be a huge blessing to you. Our study, getting back into the Word of God. We've been considering, well, our overarching topic of the great controversy that started a couple weeks ago. But now our study for this week, the light shines in the darkness, and then specifically today, human reasoning apart from Scripture. We've been considering all this week how important Scripture is for discernment.
Okay, because Lawson, there is a notion going around, well, it has been going for many years, that if you want to be a Christian, you need to have some kind of a blind faith. Blind faith, like you just believe because you're not asking questions, you are not reasoning, you have to basically pick up your brain, live it somewhere, and then you can live a faith authentically. Do you agree with that sentiment or statement, Lawson?
I so wholeheartedly and completely disagree.
Oh, yes.
I have historical reasons why, you know, even why is that a conception that people have about Christians, which is actually different to the way that people thought about Christians for years and years and years and centuries. You know, this modern take on Christianity that is pervasive, like it's a take that's pervasive outside and inside of the church as well. There are proponents in the church. There are people in the church who would say, oh, look, you know, believing in God is about having faith. We don't, you know, we can't see him. We don't know if he's there. And in a sense, that's true. The Bible does call him an invisible God, but there is so much evidence pointing to the fact that God is real. But furthermore, instruction and counsel that he wants to give you, you know, Christianity isn't a religion of
so
leave your brain.
You're saying to me, Lawson, that we should have, instead of a blind faith, an intelligent faith that is based in evidence, that is based in good, solid evidence, rationality, and so on. I agree with you. Now, do you know what blind faith is actually called? There's a name for it. There's a technical term. I love words. Words tell things. Do you know that the word
I'm going to take a stab at it. I'm going to say a word with some negative connotation.
Yeah, it's
negative. Presumptuousness.
Yeah, I guess you could do that, but this is not the word that I am
looking for.
Fideism.
Ah, okay.
Fideism is the doctrine that knowledge depends on faith of revelation, but fideism is a faith that is just like, you believe because you believe.
Yeah.
You believe just because. This is not what the Bible advocates. Mm-mm. Actually, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. What does it say, Lawson?
1 Peter chapter 3 and 15, where the Bible says, as I pull it up here on my device, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have."
To give a reason of the hope that you have. So the Bible is not about just trusting blindly. Even if you trust in God, even if you do not know what's going to happen next, and you still choose to trust in God, you do so because God has proven to be trustworthy in the past. You have evidence to back that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And now this evidence comes in a whole range of ways, whether it be, you know, some people can point to a very real personal experience, but often we advocate for the evidence that is given to us in the Word of God.
An intelligent faith. Now, that being said, with that introduction, now that your listener and I and Lawson, we are on the same page regarding that God wants to for us to use these brains of yours, this incredible machine that He gave us, human wisdom or human knowledge alone, it's not enough to make sense of reality.
So true.
People say, oh, I trust and I depend on my senses. I believe what my eyes see. I believe what my ears hear. And this is insufficient. From a scriptural perspective, well, you're going to be missing out on very important information. And this is going to be the gist, the soul, the meat and potatoes of this Bible study here. Lawson, why don't you read to the listener Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25.
"There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death."
Okay, what do you understand out of that passage, Lawson?
I love this passage, because there's a way that seems right to man. You know, I think often there is an appeal to common sense. And I think the common sense is good, you know, that we can collectively reason and say, hey, this probably isn't the right thing to do, or this probably is the right thing to do. But here it says, hey, at the end of the day, if all we had was a common sense, if all we had was the reasoning of man, if all we had was the wisdom of man and the righteousness of man, the way that we'd be going is towards death.
That's right. So there are things that appear to be good to our eyes. But when we actually go and do it, realize, oh, wow, that was a bad choice.
Dude.
There's many examples we can talk about it. There's many examples. Well, one example is, I think, the classical one. Someone gets infatuated. They're passionate. They're madly in love by someone. And they rush into marriage. And then they realize that the person they're marrying to was not the Prince Charming or Princess Charming that they once thought. Have you ever heard of stories such as this, Lawson?
Yeah, absolutely.
Shell, you've been around on this planet for longer than we do. Is this something that has happened? Not for a lot longer. Now, one of the quiz questions that I asked my daughter yesterday is, who was the man who lived the longest according to the Bible? Shell or Nen, any of us here are not even close to that.
No.
But she does bring the credibility to this show as well. Right? So, Shell, have you seen that kind of story happening?
I just want to say, before Shell says this, Shell is one. Shell is one of these people. We always make the joke because Shell and Lyle, beautiful couple, amazing marriage, awesome kids,
amazing.
But quite a quick turnaround on the spending getting to know in marriage.
That's right. Yeah, 6-day courtship, you know.
6 days,
like
courtship.
The conquest of Jericho, right? Yeah. Like 7 days, blow the trumpets, the walls will fall down, and you're ready to go.
Hey, sometimes, engaged sometimes
for 3 months,
it works.
Married. Yeah.
Sometimes it just works, but yeah, no, I think Shell definitely
agree that we've seen a lot of relationships that are like this.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491-064-669.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the dormitory here at Avondale College, and if we take just a step back from marriage, bro, I've got like I'm like an elder statesman in the dormitory. I'm like 25, you know, because I'm a mature age student.
Bro.
But like, you know, most of my friends in the dorms,
you're the Methuselah.
That's right. Most of my friends in the dorm are like 19, 20, 21, something like that. And the stories that are coming out of there, like my homies coming up to me saying, I met this girl, dude, and I met her, and
she's the one.
I walked into class the other day, and as I was walking in, she flipped her hair as I like walked through the door and like gave me
a
quick look, and I think she's interested in me. Like, this could be the one. This is a real conversation that I've had, and I'm just like, I'll have guys in my room. It'll be like myself and a couple other guys just having a sesh about these particular things, and I'm just laughing, bro. And I'm like, man, okay, let's take it back a couple steps, and then like it'll be 3 weeks later, and some other guy will ask that girl out that my friend was interested in, and they're devastated. They're like, but she smiled at me and talked to me in class. Like, oh, I thought, man, she was, and it's like, come on, yes, bro. But yeah, this whole idea of something looking, yes, good to us, you know, I even think of advertising. Oh man, have you ever gotten got by just, oh, like I used to eat lots of fast food. Like, oh, just, I was just a fiend for the drive-thru. And dude, when the ads come up on Facebook, the targeted ads, oh man, and it just looks
they
like
just
the most
drive you mad.
Yum thing in the whole world. Like, that looks so good. And you go and you eat it, and it might even be like your initial, like, first couple minutes, you're like, oh, this is good. But then afterwards you just feel like horrifically sick. You've got like indigestion for like the rest of the night because you've done like an 8, 9 p.m. drive through run, and you're just hating life afterwards. Like, we are so easily deceived, so easily sucked into the hype.
Yes.
And it's common sense, you know, everyone eats Maccas or whatever. It's like, oh, you know, everyone's into this. And it's, yeah, we just get sucked in. We just get done. It's tough. We need some wisdom.
That's wisdom right there from Elder Lawson. I'm imagining here when there's any dispute arising in Avondale campus and they need to call in the elders. Lawson sets up his camping chair right in front of the building, and people come to him with their difficult requests that they cannot find the answers to. Lawson, I'm proud of you. This is why you're here in this show, 0491-064-669. Send your difficult question to Lawson, and he, as an elder of the campus here, will point you to the right direction. But Lawson, let's read Judges chapter 21 and verse 25.
The Bible says here, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Okay, stop everything. Man, this is one of the coolest passages of the entire Bible. Mm-hmm. Read it again, Lawson. Let's just comment this passage for
Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Okay, pause. Wow. The book of Judges, this is the most crazy, I would even say psychedelic book the Bible. It looks like it's like coming out of a Stanley Kubrick's movie.
Yeah.
We see some of the most jaw-dropping,
horrific
stories.
Yeah. And
neck hair raising stories.
Particularly when you get to the last couple of chapters. Particularly of Judges, which is what we have here.
And people often ask, what are these stories doing in my Bible? Isn't the Bible supposed to be the book where everybody's just doing the right thing at all the time? No.
That's a conversation that I often have with Islamic people. Like, how can the book of Judges be in the Bible? Like,
that's right. Well, that's a quick question. Let me tell you this. Okay, listener. One important thing. Once you're reading the Bible for long enough, you realize that what the Bible describes, it does not necessarily prescribe.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
What the Bible describes, it does not necessarily describe. The book of Judges is, you know, the epitome of what happened. And I'll tell you this as well. People say, oh, why Why did God say to the Israelites that they were to enter into battle with the Canaanites and to subdue them? And you know why? And you know what? They didn't do it. And the result of that is the book of Judges.
Yeah.
What had been the influence of the Canaanite religion at of the time into the Jewish religion is no joke. And then the book of Judges tells us what is the source of all of that confusion and trouble and anarchy. In those days, there was no king on Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And this is where it is. Everybody thinks they're doing right. You go to a jail cell. You go to the prison ministries. 90% of inmates believe that they are innocent, that they were there unjustly. Everybody thinks that what they're doing is right in their own eyes. But guess what? It turns out that we, apart from God's word, are terrible at defining what is right and what's wrong, particularly the finer yeah. prints.
And this era, again, a time in which everyone was doing right in their own eyes and there's no king. Yeah, I think some would reminisce for times like this. Some would say, like, this kind of concept of, you know, I just think of, like, Western freedom ideals, you know, of small government and having my plot of land and doing whatever I want. Like, but, you know, which in a sense I actually agree with. I'm like, yeah, cool. But what we're talking about here is the greatest moment of suffering and harm that ever came about Israel. Like, just such depravity, such hurt, such pain. And it's almost indescribable. Look, it's these parts of the Bible that I feel uncomfortable reading aloud.
It's uncomfortable reading. And I am mindful that we may have young listeners listening to the show. So I'll say this in a world that only the grown-ups will understand. The Canaanite religion that was imported by Israel when they were doing whatever was right in their own eyes included things such as offering as offerings, things, beings,
people
that were vulnerable that would never should be seen as that. Okay, I'll stop it there. I think that my kids wouldn't understand that reference. I hope that it's crazy, shockingly, and there's even worse things to that. If you can get worse, so we're talking about in that human wisdom, apart from God's word, is insufficient. The next passage, lost in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6.
This next one here, another classic. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
All right. I love how the Bible shuts us all in the same package here, Lawson. Yeah. The same bucket.
Yeah.
All have like sheep gone astray. There's not one human being. Oh, you're so enlightened. Except for perhaps Lawson.
Hey.
But other than that, all of us are like sheep that went astray. All of us went to their own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us. So all of us have iniquities. Yeah. All of us are sinners.
Yeah.
We're on the same package. Nobody's better than anyone. Nobody's superior to anyone. But the point here is, where are we going to find the answer to what is right and what is wrong? Yeah. What is going to be the standard that I'm going to be comparing my life to, Lawson? Is it someone else's life? Is my neighbor next door? Is the artist on the TV? Or is it the word of God?
Yeah.
And I want you to, let's go to Psalm 119.
Yeah, absolutely. Psalm 119. I'm just pulling it up now. What verse are we going
to
be
in? I want the verse to, let's see, verse 4, 5, and 6.
The Bible says that here in 4, 5, and 6 of Psalm 119, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments.
That's right. So we want to look at all of God's commandments and not be ashamed, meaning we're going to compare our lives to that. And if there's any discrepancy there, Lawson, if there's any inconsistency there, it's a great opportunity to say, God, my life is not yet aligned with the values that you as the creator of the universe has, help me.
Yes.
Or help me align to your will.
I love that. I love what you just said there. The response is not, okay, I'm unaligned. I'm not good enough.
I can never do this.
I'm a terrible person. No.
Not despair.
Well, we need to realize, hey, we do fall short. Help me. And the Bible says if we're willing to ask God, if God is better than every good parent on earth, how much more willing is he to give us the Holy Spirit to help in time of need?
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Do we have another question? Last question of the day.
It's the final one.
This
is the final opportunity.
This is it.
Not just for today, but for the week, for the draw. We're going to be spinning the wheel right after this at around 8:45 this morning. Here we go. What city did Samson carry the gates off from?
Wow.
Which is like, that's pretty legit. This is some serious strength there. What city did Samson carry the gates off from? If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text. Again, 0491-064-669. Our amazing prizes for this week we want to give to you absolutely for free. If you win the draw, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars by Suki Gunatilleki, getting into the amazing tales of people standing for the faith during the Reformation and doing an amazing job defending God's word. Hey, you got a text message in, actually. This is from David. He says, hey, Shel, my wife Tina and I first dated, and this is going back, on the 4th of the 9th, 1985. Then we were engaged on the 4th of the 10th, 1985, and then married on the 4th of the 1st, 1986. So, Shel, 3 months later, and still going strong after 38 years.
Ooh, oh, a shout
out. Got a few extra years on us, but yeah, very similar.
Yes. Dude, shout out to
David.
David, yeah. And Tina.
Yeah.
They're married for 38 years.
That's classic. Yes. Well, I being in a relationship currently, I've surpassed all those periods of times without getting married or engaged, okay, or anything. We're taking a bit of time.
Let me give some advice. Okay, I'm going to wear the head of Uncle Scaffy.
Okay,
Uncle Scaffy here. Of all of the 35 years of wisdom that God has given me, I think that it is within the range of possibilities for you to marry and to meet a person and within a short period of time and have a great marriage.
Mm.
I have seen that happening.
Yeah, that's not what happened with us, though. We only dated for that period of time.
But
we
knew each other for longer than that. Now, I'll say this. Okay, I have a word to say here. And I know that we have young adults that listen to us. And I often find people complaining that young men, in particular, are so scared of committing these days.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. I believe, and you can quote me on this, that between 1 year and 2 years, round about that you're getting to know one person, it gives you enough information to know if you want to marry that person or not.
Mm.
So if you think that there's no way that this can happen, if you want to do more time, you do more time. However, may I suggest that do not let other people waiting so long, too long, for you because you're afraid of commitment. After 2 years, you'd be a go or no go. Now, there are other factors. Maybe, you know, you're not earning money yet enough to provide for your family. And all these kind of things.
There's like 15-year-olds who start dating and end up together.
Talking about principle.
Yeah.
But sometimes, oh yes, we've been for 15 years together. And, you know, and my partner, he didn't even have the courage to assume me, to officiate the things between us. Look, if you love someone and if you want to stay with the rest of your life, why not commit?
Mm. Yeah, it's simply that.
Why not commit?
I'd actually go so far as to say that you shouldn't be dating at all unless you're thinking.
You're already thinking.
Is this a person that I want to spend the rest of my life with?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't date them unless you're willing to ask that question first and be like, okay, I need to find out. Is this somebody who I want to spend the rest of my life with? And if you don't discover that, then move on. But if you do, then why wait? You know, if the Lord is telling you that this is the person who is good for that's you right. and right for you, then why drag your feet?
Yeah.
That's right. Look, there's the wisdom there.
And the wisdom that I can contribute to this. As someone going through this experience at the moment, you know, I would say really do it in community. I was really blessed that when I was considering the person that I'm now happily dating, leading up to that, you know, I talked to a number of people who knew us mutually and asked questions like, hey, would you see us as, you know, working out?
Compatible,
like, would compatible, you know, what do you think of this person? And this is before this person even knew I was interested. Before this person even knew that I was like we'd spent a little bit, you know, just time as friends, seeing each other around. But I was like, I'd started praying about it, and I started to just ask people. And then, you know, eventually.
There you go, get some references.
That's right. And yeah.
Good practice.
Enable and let the other person do so as well. And you can really get a sense of who this person is before you're going in. So you can see already, like, okay, in terms of some principles and some non-negotiable things that are valuable to me, before you even start dating, you can see, okay, do they tick those boxes? And then when you start dating, then you're in a better position to start asking those greater questions.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is wise.
Hey, so this is some wisdom.
There you go. Some wisdom here. So why we're talking about this? Well, because in the context of there are ways that appear to be ways of life to men, but they ended up bringing death. In other words, some things that, you know, at a first glance may appear great, but then when you start looking into it, it's like, hey, you know what? It's not really that great.
Mm.
And before you commit yourself with another person, you need to make sure that your values are aligned.
Mm. Yeah.
Your values are aligned. Don't do like Samson. Mm. Said, you know, that lady, she pleases my eyes. And before the marriage even started, it ended because their values were so different.
Yeah.
So different.
And, you know, I think it's so important to consider as well. Often we're in the position of going, you know, where's the right one for me? Where's the right one for me? You know, you're seeing, you're like, where is the right person for me? But are we asking the question, hey, how can I be the right person for someone else?
Yes.
And this doesn't look like changing, you know,
good point,
like your personality or whatever it may be. Like you are you. But what you can do is, like, my thought is just grow closer to God, become a more principled person, exact and enact the values of God's word in your life. I can see that, you know, the ideals that I had for marriage, even after I became a Christian when I was 18, the ideals that I had for relationships and marriages at that time versus my ideals for now, you know, as a 25-year-old have grown massively, but also my capability to even to do anything like that. Man, at 19, 20, the early years of my Christian life, you know, I was so keen to be in a relationship. I'm like, oh, I'm looking for someone. But yeah, I realized like, man, I'm just not ready for this. My character hasn't caught up with my ideals. And so, yeah, it's taken years, you know, steps and whatnot, but I would really advise you, you know, listening today, advice for all of us is grow closer to God, grow closer to the ideals of the Bible, grow more like Jesus, draw close to Him. And that's like the A1 way to get ready.
That's right. Mm. Absolutely. Well, thanks, Lawson. That was very inspiring.
My relationship
tips
wisdom
from Elder Lawson, who, if you have any love-related questions, you come every, Thursday at 4 p.m. He sits under the palm trees with his little camp
happens.
Chair.
None
and
of this
people
happens.
Come from all the corners of the earth to seek for counsel. That being said, Lawson, that was actually pretty good advice. I'm very proud of you. So, we're coming to an end, and the question of the matter is this.
Mm.
The Bible is the North. The Bible is authorized by God, is the agency that God has found to help us discern between truth and error, between what looks right and what is right, and it gives wisdom even to the simplest of minds through the Word of God. This is the grace that God has opened to us. This is why, listener, you are here with us every morning, where we dedicate an hour to soak into the Word of God.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We have come now to the time to announce not only the quiz answers, but also to spin that wheel.
That's right.
Lawson. Okay, let's quickly go through the answers of each quiz.
No. We're going to spin the wheel first.
Spin the wheel first.
We always spin the wheel first. Okay, because these people, they're impatient. That's right. Okay. Hey, the traditions of man, the doctrine of man here. We are spinning the wheel first. Shell, can you please spin that wheel? Okay. It's spinning. It's spinning. It's slowing down. Oh, amazing. And we have a winner. Congratulations to Brayden. Well, hey, you know, you send in answers, you win prizes. Good on you, Brayden. That was really good effort. Multiple answers in there. It was funny because it was like the wheel was spinning and Brayden's like name was next to each other, you know, like all the Brayden entries. And it was like this slow spin between Brayden and Brayden.
So it pays off to regularly reply to the quizzes.
That's right.
You get more entries into the draw.
And yeah, even if it's like, there are some people who like play to answer like every single day, but some people, hey, once a day, twice a day, guys, get in for these amazing prizes. Congratulations, Brayden. Hey, let's go through some of the answers here. What city was Jesus traveling to when he met the woman at the well? That city was Sychar.
Sychar. Yes,
yeah, he was
Samaria.
He was on the way there. And, you know, he says he has a purpose for going through Samaria. And that purpose was, you know, he meets the woman at the well. And it just an amazing evangelistic work takes place through just an unassuming conversation.
That's right. Remember that nobody wanted to do anything with Jesus in that region. And then when he spoke to the Samaritan woman, he was welcomed there later on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she opened the doors for the gospel in that region. Fill in the blank. Jonah said, yet 40 days and
Nineveh
shall be overthrown.
Yeah. Hectic story.
Yes.
Gets out of the belly of a fish, walks up to everyone, just says, hey, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And they repent.
They repented. And this is great hermeneutics from the Ninevites. Shout out to the Ninevites of that time, because they said, why is he saying that? Because the whole message was, if you repent, you will be spared. And Jonah didn't bother to tell that message. He was the first doom and gloom preacher.
Hey, 40 days from now, you're going to die.
Yeah. But then I said, okay, well, this is how they interpret it. This is the faith that they had. Well, if God is letting us know, is maybe because there is a chance that this ruling can be overthrown. Yeah,
he could destroy us right now.
Yeah. So why don't we repent and see if God changes his mind? And guess what? This is exactly what happened. There's always hope. Mm. There is always, God is always wanting that his sons and daughters repent and come back to him.
Mm. Absolutely.
Next question. What city David had men climbing up a water shaft to capture?
Yeah.
What was the city?
That was the city of Jebus. That's very, very interesting. Jebus, the city that they ended up capturing. Again, powerful stories from those books of Samuel. And I think I would call that David in his prime. Like David in his prime as a military leader, as a faithful man.
That's right. Jebus, the city of the Jebusites, who ended up becoming Jerusalem. That was that. When the city of Dothan was surrounded by an army, who was the prophet that asked that his servant would see God's much larger heavenly army?
The answer to that one was Elisha.
Elisha. So beautiful, he couldn't see. They were surrounded by an enemy army. And Elisha said, the ones that are for us are in larger number than the ones who are against us. And he asked God, God, please open the eyes of my servant so that he could see. And he saw as if there were angels on chariots of fire and horses beyond that. And this is something nice that I want to say for you, Lawson. When it is you and God, you are always the majority.
Yeah. Well.
When there's you and God, you are always the majority. Does not matter how many people are against you. Does not matter how strong is the forces that want to go against you and destroy you. When you are with God, you are always the majority. The definition of the majority is not 50% plus one, according to the Bible, is that one person plus God is already the majority. Whatever God is the majority. This is an encouragement for you. And what city did Samson carry the gates from, Lawson?
That was the city of Jericho.
Jericho. Now, we had a message here from Wayne saying, good morning. L and J and S and B. Blessings to you all. Speaking of relationships and love, I was reading in this morning how much more and better understanding the word of God means in its original language. John 20, 21 verses 15 to 16. Do you love me? He asks this question twice, both times using the verb agapo.
The verb
also used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Peter responds by each time saying, I like you, Lord. In the translation, it's like, I love you, Lord. But it's not agapo, but phileo. This is a verb one used in saying to a close friend, I do. Have a blessed day. There you go. That's a great passage and a great use of Greek. Wish I was going to Avondale Union to learn from the original language. Well, you can take private classes with Lawson.
That's here a double-edged sword. That is, I don't know if you actually, it's fantastic. it's just difficult.
Thank you very much, Wayne, for your message. We are coming to an end, but we have a few things before we do this. We have a message here from David saying, don't the Ninevites believe in deities from the sea? So when Jonah came out of the fish saying, repent of God, they did it. Is this true? Well, you know, I don't know. It would be possible. Well, Dagon was a pagan deity who looked like a fish. That being said, the Bible here says, so the people of Nineveh believed God, and it's talking about Elohim, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and the word came to the king of Nineveh. So it says here that they were fasting and they're repenting to God, to Elohim. It doesn't say any specific deity here.
Yeah, I think that the point being made here, some people could say potentially that they're not repenting to Dagon. They're repenting to God. And if anything, if that was a factor, it was that they could see clearly that God, Yahweh, Elohim had power even over the fish. You know, this guy, because Jonah is very clearly a Hebrew. He's coming to them and he's telling them this and they repent. Hey, before we get to the end of the show here, I've got a gift absolutely for free. And this is relating to our conversation about relationships. This book is simply called What Men Should Understand About Women by Nancy Van Pelt. If you're a man and you need to know about women and understand them, hey, 0491-064-669. Again, very godly book. It will be a blessing to you. Be the first person to text through the word women. If you text through the word women, we'll give that one to you for free.
And this is this. We're coming to a wrap, everyone. So do not forget to live faith, talk faith, act faith, and your faith will grow strong in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.